Good afternoon, everybody, and it is where I live. It's about 10 seconds past noontime, okay, on November 9th, 2020. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is the Monday after the election. Everybody's more relaxed, I think, now that the election is over. And I'm not talking politics here. I'm just talking about the election's over, and we can all kind of stop thinking about that one. Okay, so that's all good news. And welcome to today's show on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here. I've also got a wonderful guest. You know her, Phyllis Wolfram, who is the Executive Director of the Council of Administrators of Special Education. That's CASE, the Council of Administrators of Special Education, and they're at CASECEC.org, and we're going to have a special conversation about the wonderful and very successful virtual conference they had last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'll talk to Phyllis about what it was like doing it virtually, what were the big topics discussed, and what are the plans for 2021. Okay, so I'm looking forward to doing this show. We're going to archive it, of course, over at our Equity website, which is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the American Consortium for Equity in Education, which is open to all pre-K-12 educators for free. Go over there, join with us, get your voice heard. We got some great stuff planned for 2021, okay? And our magazine is over there, our online journal, which is Equity and Access. You'll love it. Just click through on the link and enjoy what is a terrific magazine and the only magazine actually focusing 100% on equity and access to all kids in pre-K-12. It's good stuff, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. We do a tweet over at EduTalk Radio, and also I want to make sure you know that our other Twitter is Equity2AccessED. That's the number two, Equity2AccessED. You want to link in with us? It's Larry Jacobs. Well, that's me, by the way. All right? And if you want to Facebook with us, that's under my name, Larry Jacobs, and also Education Talk Radio. Okay, but it's Access to number two, Equity ED for Twitter. And let me bring on my friend Phyllis Wolfram. It's spinning. There she is. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Larry. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm fine. I bet you're tired but happy.
You are absolutely correct. We had a busy week last week, starting with our CASE Executive Committee meeting.
Yep. Yep.
Then we brought in our leaders from across the nation
yep.
for a board of directors meeting. We had about 100 people on Wednesday.
Wow.
And then Thursday, Friday, and half day Saturday, we engaged
okay.
in our conference. Yeah.
I thought it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but it was Thursday, Friday, a little bit on Saturday. That's good. Thank you for that little correction there. 900 participants?
Yes, 990 was actually the final count. So
why don't we just do? Why don't we call
well
it 1,000? I'll give you the 10. Let's call it 1,000.
Thanks, Larry. Okay,
you're welcome.
It was incredible. We never dreamed we would have that many tuning in to hear what the leadership had planned for the field of special education. So
yeah.
Actually, we were quite honored and humbled by the response that we received from those that registered to our conference. So we just want to give a big shout out to everyone that did participate. And in some respects, you know, we had a conference registration fee, so it really supported the work of CASE moving
sure.
forward as well. Mm-hmm.
Right. It really did. I have to ask you this, which is, how many people were you expecting? Really?
Well, you know,
really, really,
I think the most, a couple, maybe 300-400.
There you go.
In person, the most we've ever had one time was 500. But we, you know, somewhere between 350-450, depending on our location in the U.S., is what we've typically had.
You know, and you got 990, let's say that again, okay, which well exceeded your expectations and the history. Okay, and this brings up, Phyllis, I got to ask you, and I just had Todd Mann, my good friend who's at the Magnet Schools of America Association, and they just had a conference 3 weeks ago, and they usually get
mm-hmm.
about 300 people to the conference, so they had 1,500 to a virtual conference. Okay?
Yes.
And that's now with you. You're saying a max was 500. Now you're doubled that, basically. Okay? And I'm curious. I have to ask this. And we're going to talk about what you talked about at the conference last week. But as you learn that, and our big thing here is equity and access. And access is what we're talking about. All of a sudden, everybody literally had access to your conference, and so many more people showed up. What's the lesson there, if I may?
Yeah, well, first, don't you just love that? Because that's what you're all about. I mean, access. I mean,
exactly.
How perfect is that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, what is the lesson there? I think the lesson there is that we had, prior to COVID, you know, we had been functioning the very same way consistently, face-to-face
Bingo.
Conferences, pick a location, and we never really shifted that up. You know, CASE did do a hybrid conference for 10 years, and we had pretty good attendance. But our big annual event was come face-to-face, be with us face-to-face. You know, COVID has forced us to look at a different way to do things. And it has created an avenue for more people to participate. Now, I don't imagine everyone loves being at home as much as they're being at home. In some communities, they would like a little bit of interaction with other people, those
sure,
who love
of course.
It. You know, there are some people that
of
are
course.
Loving COVID. They're like, they don't have to be rough people, but, you know, but it is providing another whole avenue of learning for our leaders and for our teachers. It is. It truly is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of the crazy things that I think is good that's going to come out of this pandemic. Okay? And we all, oh, my God, look at the way we've been doing it, and now look at what we're getting because we have forced to do it a different way. I'm a big fan of in-person conferences. It's always fun to see people and get a hug and in some cases, a little kiss on the cheek and have a drink with them, et cetera. That's
absolutely
fun. Okay? But you can also eliminate the travel and the hotel fees and everything else, and all of a sudden people have a great deal of access. Okay, to all the information that associations like yours have, I think it's a game changer, and I'm just so proud of you and all that sort of thing. And the other thing, you wrote me here, 28 exhibitors, is that correct?
We did. So we had the support of those in the field who are also pivoting and shifting to try and bring resources to those leaders. They wanted to, you know, a number of the companies that we work with and that are providing great resources across the nation, they have put their own dollars and their own resources into shifting and changing some of their product to make it so much more user-friendly for the teacher. You know, we as adults have shifted into this virtual world where we are on our computers, and whether you're sitting or standing or you're in a room by yourself or you're distancing 6 feet with a mask in a room with a few others, you know, we have learned to adapt to that. And during our conference, we saw some videos, you know, though we were running the back end of things, I did have opportunity to pop into several of the concurrent sessions. And as we saw some people, our keynotes present, they had video of some very successful clips of teachers working virtually with students and how they involved families, how they involved parents to make that interaction with the student successful. One particular clip showed a progress of a student over a six-week period of time, and it was a student with a little bit more involved than your typical student, and the approach was, or the objective was to get the student to attend. And over a six-week period, by the end of that, the student was sitting down and attending to the teacher virtually on the computer.
We know
we can make a difference. It's not the difference we want to be making. We know we want to be face-to-face. But I think as we watch the news, and as you said upon introduction, we're not going to get political, but we do know that we may be in a virtual world for a little while in the world of education.
That's right.
Maybe longer than we want to be, given the winter coming on, and we're seeing spikes across the nation in some pockets.
Yeah.
So
here in Maine,
Maine,
where I live, it's spiking like crazy. We have small numbers to begin with, but it's spiking like crazy here in Maine, percentage-wise. It's going nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we're going to plan and be prepared, and we're going to have to really do our due diligence to make this virtual world work, and I believe at our conference, all of our exhibitors, our companies that were there to support us, that's their primary goal. Everybody's saving a little money by not traveling, and everybody's saving a little money by being at home. So these companies, they are really reaching out and want to assist and provide the supports and resources that are needed.
They
They're
sure
in
do.
It to make a difference for special education and for students and education in our country. So I just hope that the leaders across, when you're searching or seeking for a solution, that you reach out and educate yourself on what's out there, because there is a lot of great resources.
And on that note, I went over to your – yeah, you're going to have to help me here. I went over to your events page to just learn a little bit more about your conference, but I couldn't find – and it's here somewhere – where the list of those 28 exhibitors are. Okay? Is that somewhere obvious on the website yet? So I just want to try to give them credit. People should know about it.
But it will be tonight, because I'm working on an article, and it's going to be linked to the front page of the website by tomorrow morning, because it's going to come out in our weekly update. And I know you know about our weekly update.
Oh, yeah.
I post equity and access and your website in there every week.
Thank you.
But we are doing a follow-up. All of our exhibitors were on our virtual portal. We used a system called FeedLoop, and it was an exhibit hall. People clicked on a button, and they saw all the list of exhibitors, and they went there. So it'll be on the front page of the website as we bring that information over from our virtual portal to our website this evening, and giving them a big shout-out for all that they did.
Yeah, they deserve it. I just wanted to make sure it was there. I mean, some things are flashing here, okay? I mean, I know Lombardi's couples, Waterford, Lexia, and Rosetta Stone, Presence Learning, they were all a big part of it, and they're good friends of ours here. Okay, but I think everybody needs to get credit for supporting beyond the ones I'm just going to mention, and I want to make sure it's, they get the credit that's needed. So it's casecec.org, everybody. And by the way, though, it's for administrators of special education. It's for every administrator, period, because every school has these needs. So it's not just for the special ed team. Yeah, it's for the typical classroom teacher runs into these situations. This won't hurt to go over casecec.org. Right, Phyllis?
You are correct. And, just recently, one of the things that our board of directors did a final approval on, as it's going through the process with our standards committee that we function under with the Council for Exceptional Children with CEC, we've just finalized our standards for special education administrators.
Wow.
And we hope to be moving towards professional learning under those standards for all of those leaders in our public schools that deal with special education. So what we know in some respects, it's elementary principals or middle school or high school principals or a high school assistant principal.
That's right.
Who has to be responsible for the implementation of special education. And we know that they need some additional supports at times. We have some states that have some great learning modules, and we have some others that have not accomplished that yet. And so we are hoping to be filling a void and a gap with some training coming out for leaders in special education within the next 6 to 8 months. We're very excited about that.
That's
and
great.
I just read some information this morning via email where I think the secondary school principals have done a study. And it's not a good outcome. It reported that approximately 45% of principals are looking at exiting the field early due to COVID. And I saw another report from a colleague in Illinois that said their principal pipeline is dry. And so we want, as special educators, I know it is not good news. We know we already have a nationwide shortage in special education.
Yes, we do.
We don't want that in our leaders. And so we are looking to see how we can support that effort and we can provide those supports to all administrators in the area of special education across the nation. So we're excited about that opportunity.
And you bring up a very good point that all the associations – so although either social studies teachers, the English teachers, the math teachers, whatever you want to talk about, okay, they have to back up the administrators and help the administrators along, because the administrators, okay, at school districts are going wild this year because the things that they're concerned about are so matter of fact right now, and so, you know, with COVID and technology and all that sort of thing, that's what they have to get together and attend it. They need your help, special education, to make sure you're on the agenda and you can help them along with what they need for your specialty. It's that simple. Yeah, they can't. Nobody has the money that can do all this. Okay, when there's emergency stuff happening. Okay, so wow, it's just. It's so great, and you guys are just, like I always say, all special ed teachers go to heaven. Did you know that? You know that, Phyllis.
I sure hope so, because I'm going to end up there one day, I hope.
They do. Please send me a note from wherever I might be, but I think you'll know how to address it. Send me a note and let me know what it's like up there, but not for a long, long time.
Sounds good.
That's all. I'll just leave it at that. So what concerns me about special ed, okay, you know, we're coming up with 2021, and a lot of people have lost their jobs because of, and you know, are in dire economic straits. We sometimes forget that because of this crazy disease. School budgets are going to be affected. As usual, libraries and special ed will be the first things to go. We know that right off the bat. So let's talk about, I want to talk about that because that's not supposed to happen. Okay. What's going on? What's on the minds of special ed administrators these days? Are they worried about next year?
They are. Actually, at our board of directors meeting, we had a very in-depth conversation about priorities for special education. And as we work with, as we will begin to, at the federal level, work with new leaders with the change in leadership across all the different departments that we might see, but particularly in education, the education department, and at the Office of Special Ed Programs. We have identified four major priorities that CASE will be addressing as we get to work with the transition of new leaders that we'll be working with. And the number one priority was funding IDEA and keeping public funds in public schools. So, again, we continue to have some lengthy conversation around that that made that a number one priority for CASE. And for our members. And the second priority was the collaboration and the interagency collaboration and community support around mental health and family supports around mental health, feeling that was really important. And then it's the, as we just talked about with the shortage of principals, the third priority was that leadership development, recruiting, retaining, and preparing educators, not only teachers, but administrators in the field of special education. So three top priorities.
Yeah, they are.
The fourth one was just the dispute resolution under IDEA. We just think there are some reforms there that would make problem solving so much more effective and somewhat efficient in that area. And so we're looking to provide some recommendations to the transition team. I shouldn't say the transition team, but to the new leaders as they transition into their new positions.
Well put.
So,
Well put. I have to ask, how do we get more, I guess, kids, I'll have to say it that way, more future special educators? Okay, how do we get that? What's the way to do that? And from that, grow administrators, okay? And how do we get administrators more? And that's why I said a few minutes ago that every school administrator should attend the CASE meeting, okay? Because, or at least every school district should have somebody representing them there so that they can understand the challenges that are there. Of course, that doesn't happen. Or you'd have 12,000 people there on top of your 990. That, from my lips to God's ears, right? But
exactly.
But they really should. People forget this. This is especially, but not to an administrator. They have to administrate it. Administer, what's the word? So, you know, they have to administer the program, all right? If they don't understand it, which most people don't, to be perfectly honest, they just get a feeling. Where are we going to get the new leaders? Where are we going to get the new teachers? How do we do that? Was there conversation on that?
Yes, there is. There is. And we just actually had an opportunity with the Office of Special Ed Programs to participate in. Their plan was, of course, to have an in-person summit on attract, retain, and prepare. And they did it virtually over 3 days. It was just the last week of October. And I believe that all of those recordings are now, I have to go look because we just finished that. We jumped right into our conference.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
think it was, I think they were all recorded. But this is a thing that I think one of the number one objectives for changing public education and bringing more people into the field is how we brand it and how we talk about it. It is the most rewarding profession.
That's why you're going to heaven. I already mentioned that. Yeah.
We don't get to talk about it in that realm. It seems like we talk about all the things we have to do to problem solve, and we're always combating with the conflict. I think we need to do that shift, that paradigm shift. We have to change the narrative to say public education is great, and we need to put those extraordinary teachers up front, in front of the public. And not only the extraordinary teachers, but we have got to change that narrative to teachers of color as well. We need to say there are more and more students that need to see role models who look like them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got to stop talking about making our workforce more diverse, more diversified, and not just with people of color, but for gender too. When we think about we like male role models in the elementary school, different identities of individuals. So I think we have to begin to take some action around that. And I'm really proud to say that CASE has developed a task force, a work group that is going to be studying that. We listed out some objectives. It's not just going to be conversation anymore. It's going to be some action and some work around this very issue. And we hope that people will join us. And if there's any listeners that are administrators and individuals with diverse backgrounds, we would welcome your participation and would love for them to contact me, and I would pass that on. We have a wonderful lady by the name of Dr. Sheila Bailey out of Virginia, who will be leading this work group, this task force, to look at and make recommendations to CASE about how we need to change the way we act to bring in more leaders with diverse backgrounds. We're very excited about this initiative.
I love that. Let me offer, with our Consortium for Equity, okay, at ace-ed.org, any way we can help you, and I mean this, and I'm going to have a conversation with you, and Dr. Bailey, we were happy to do that. We are happy to get the word out for you. Okay, we have a big circulation on the magazine and the website, and we would love to help you. So I'm going to offer that right off the bat, anything we can do.
And I'm going to take you up on that because we are now venturing out into new uncharted area for us to take action again, to take action and not just be talking about we need to do something and really do it. And we need people who have a great depth of knowledge and understanding about what needs to be done to change what we look like and who we are in the field of education. And I think when we begin to really look at all aspects of how do we talk about public education, how do we brand public education, and how do we bring more people of diversity into education, we may not have the shortage. And it'll take some time, but hopefully we could make some headway with the shortage of educators in special education.
We have to do that. And I think you brought your interesting point about people of color. Okay. I think, and I mean this in a true compliment, that is an incredible resource that we have let go. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to
do
our best. It's an incredible resource. I mean, it, obviously. All right. And we have to, we have to get on top of this. I'll tell you how many, I'm curious, in special ed students of color, what's the percentage or the number or something? Do you have any idea?
I do not know that, Larry. I do not know. But, you know, there is a higher when we look at the information that has been provided by the Office of Civil Rights, when we know discipline, we know we have disproportionality of students there, yet we know that we have less students of color in a number of those public schools, and that's why we're disproportionate.
Yeah.
So I think that taking a look at that data is our starting point to say where are we starting from and where are we and where do we need to go in setting those goals. So that was some of the conversation that we had as well over the last couple of days.
And at some point, let me give a follow-up question, and you might know the answer to this. What is the percent of all the special education teachers and administrators? Okay, my friend Alicia, who I introduced you to in Minnesota, would qualify here. How many of them are people of color?
I don't have that data because
Got to be a small number, I'll bet you.
Oh,
don't
it would
you
be,
think?
I think, an extraordinarily. I can look across the 100 people that were on our video conference, and there were noticeably, just from a visible perspective, five individuals of color.
Yeah,
now, I know there may have been others with some diverse background, different nationalities, but I would say very few. So an extraordinarily small percentage. And that's why this is an issue for us. That
it
is
really
why
is.
We need...
really is. Not just you, by the way. Not just you, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But you start to think about it, okay, and you start to get the data, but even just anecdotally, we know we've got to do something here, okay?
Yes,
we know
we
we've got to do something. And can kids who are in an urban area, big urban school district, okay, where a lot of people are people of color, and the teachers don't reflect that, it's very hard for the kids to understand that. They need the guidance of their own kind as well as others, and I think it's really just important that we reach out. I'm happy to help you. We're happy to do
Thank you, Larry.
Whatever you need,
Thank you, Phyllis.
I'll tell you, it's a real situation. I have to tell you. So you've got some big, big plans, okay, coming up for next year. And you said something very important. We got to stop talking about it and perform actions that actually make it happen. It's just incredible. So as you think about your 3 days, 2.5 days, and the 7 months of planning that went into those from last week, okay, now that you're done, the sigh of relief, kind of like Joe Biden is a sigh of relief, okay, when he's done, when he won, and, you know, oh, it's done, you know. All right, now, when you look back, okay, so what's your feelings as you look back on it? Today's Monday. You were done on Saturday.
We had we received such great comments. You know, we don't get to all talk to everyone in passing like we did in person, but we have all learned to use chat boxes. And what we right? So
yeah,
we
of course.
Have all we have gotten some extraordinary feedback about cases on the right path. Thank you for providing the level of education and professional learning that you did over the last couple days. So I think as I look back on it, though we're a little tired from 5 days of go, 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 and then even the planning before that, we're energized. We're energized to move forward. Our board of directors set some goals for us moving forward. We have a new, administration to be working with, new leaders in the Department of Education that will be appointed and confirmed and hired, all of the above. And we're energized. We're excited moving forward of what this administration might bring to public education.
I hope I know it's all going to be positive. I know they're going to try to make it all positive. And just one last question. The biggest concern, okay, what was on everybody's mind? And there was one thing, I bet you, that stood out. What was the biggie?
I think the biggie right now is the concern over COVID and keeping schools open versus having to close schools if it gets really bad this winter. Teachers don't want to close school. I think that's the immediate piece right now. I read a Facebook post from a colleague. We just had one school in Missouri that had over 150 cases after Halloween and Halloween parties, 150 high school students. And so now they were open. They've gone 100% virtual until November 30th. And I think that's probably in pockets across the United States. I think the number one concern is how soon can we get back face to face with kids? Teachers want that.
Because what you're saying is accurate, but I want to say this in a positive manner. There is a risk to teachers. All right.
There is.
But 95% of the kids are going to be, 98%, whatever, they're going to be fine. They might get COVID, but it doesn't affect children as harshly as it affects adults. At least that's what it says so far. I don't want anybody to get it. Don't misunderstand. But with adults, it's a lot worse. But even with that, think about what you're saying. The teachers are saying we want to get back to in-person school, especially in special ed, because we know how important that personal interaction is. And so I congratulate the teacher. They're thinking we've got to get back, but we're willing to take the risk to do it. It's really just an amazing attitude. Just great.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
It
is. Just got to be said. I hope I said that right. I hope I got the point the way I wanted to.
You did.
Yeah.
It's just, we have to do it safely, and until we can do it, we will have bright spots of kiddos learning, and we will have struggles, and families will have struggles, and we all have to just communicate effectively and problem solve individually through each one of those issues, so that we can be successful, and then hopefully, we have our fingers crossed for so many things. A vaccine, great weather, small flu season, all of the things that we have discussed with our colleagues over the last couple of days, but with the ultimate goal of getting back to school as soon as we possibly can under safe conditions.
And just one last thing. What was the feeling out there about how well special ed has gone in the past 4 months, 5, 6 months, whatever? Okay, did everybody say we're doing okay, or was the consensus we really can't do it this way, or we're doing great? What was the general consensus over the last 6 months?
I think the general consensus, if I were to average it all out, is we're doing okay.
Yeah.
I think in some pockets we're doing extraordinary. I think there are some teachers that have a real knack for interacting, whether they're in person or they're animated over the computer, and they're just extraordinary. And I do believe that some teachers have struggled, but we also know that some families have struggled. It's been a hardship on our families to have to do that as well. So in some cases, we have lagged, and that is where the teachers are saying, this is just not working. You know, we need to get back with our kids as soon as we can. We need to get over this. We need to mask. We need to follow the rules. We need to get this behind us as quickly as we can and stop the spread. And maybe that's a little bit of my soapbox there too, but the sooner we do those pieces, the sooner we can get every kiddo back in school where kiddos are safe and teachers are safe.
You got it. I'm in agreement with that. I hope everybody, including you, Phyllis, takes a minute and pats yourself on the back for a job well done. Good job.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, it's really something. We'll talk soon, my dear. I'm going to talk to you more about how we can help you. Okay?
Thank you. Have a great day.
Be safe. Have a good Missouri springtime day like it is here in Maine, 70 degrees.
Gorgeous
November
here today
9th.
As well.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
All right? Hopefully it'll continue through May. All right? Good luck. Right?
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Bye, Phyllis.
Bye.
Okay, that's Phyllis Wolf from the Executive Director of the Council of Administrators of Special Education, one of my favorite groups, one of my favorite people. Okay, they work so hard. They're such good people. I've got to tell you, from administrators right through to classroom teachers, and it is tough out there. Okay, but man, do they shine through. All right, it's casecec.org. And I got friends who are exhibiting over there, helping them out. Waterford, Rosetta Stone, Lexia. Okay, Presence Learning, please. I can they'll have the fullest of exhibitors, but those three, well, they're just really something. That's come up. Here you go. All right, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, which is our equity website. Please go over there, join with us on our equity consortium. Tweet it out at Access to Equity ED. That's the number 2, Access to Equity ED. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you for listening.